Dead Room Comedy. Dead Room. Dead Room Comedy. Comedy.
20 minutes.
And we're live. Are we? That's what the button means, right? Hey, welcome to the podcast. My name's Jeff.
My name's Elliot.
How you doing?
My name is Elliot.
And last but not least, Elliot here.
Off to a good start. How's the deal closing going?
Are we doing deal closing? What deals?
Oh,
are we
my
closing?
God! Can we please not?
I thought that was your thing.
You're Elliot.
Oh, right.
He gets it. Keep up.
Okay.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Hey, is edamame expensive as a vegetable?
No.
Edamame.
Yeah. Is that an expensive vegetable?
Are you buying more edamame now?
I don't know. I just don't look at prices anymore. So I'm just curious what the world's
okay,
like.
Okay, so now you're back to Elliot.
Okay.
Yeah. That's I don't great. Know. Is it?
Oh, because you're so rich that you don't look at edamame prices?
I don't look at any prices.
That's not
really.
That's not what rich people do.
I know. That's actually the exact opposite of what rich people do.
That's what poor people think rich people do.
Yeah. Well, I'm new to this.
So you're just figuring out how to be rich.
Yeah, it's great.
How much money did you make in the past 2 weeks?
Yeah, since we last
like the exact amount.
I can't legally say.
No, yes,
absolutely.
Yeah, you can.
Absolutely, you can.
What did I say last time? $5,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably that.
Another $5,000 in 2 weeks.
Because I'm really kind of confused. So you said that you're getting $17 base pay, right? Uh-huh. Which is like what every 2 weeks? That's like $1,000 something? You're saying that you make $4,000 in commission every 2 weeks?
Yeah, because I just close deals and I can't be stopped.
So how much money do you get per deal that you close?
Depends on the deal.
What is it, like, let's say the most common deal that you get, what is the commission that you get?
What's 70 times 34?
What?
70
what is that?
Times 34?
That's a huge number. That's a massive, massive number.
Well, that's 2,100
plus.
That's
2,100, yeah, plus.
1,200.
No. No. Plus, it's like 1440.
Yeah, it's in that range.
Okay. How much is your...
70 times 34?
Yeah.
That's 2,300.
2,300.
Yeah.
So that's what you make in 2 weeks?
In the range, yeah.
Okay, so you make $3,000 every 2 weeks.
Oh,
whoa.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, actually, yeah, well, 3,300, but...
Dude, I put so many vests on.
What car do you drive, Jeff?
A Honda CRV.
That's like a half a Honda CRV every week, man.
How much do those cost? More or less than edamame?
Depends on the gas mileage.
It depends on the
mileage.
The CRV was like 16,000.
Okay.
Okay.
How long are you paying that off? This is such a boring conversation.
Yeah. This conversation, why don't we start sucks. Now? Okay. Why don't? Yeah. This start is where we will
what's
start.
What's your interest rate on that?
There. Oh, nice. Who? What band
song
is that?
This?
I can't hear it. I don't.
I feel like. Yeah, Jacob. There's a music playing. Oh my gosh, this is very anti-Semitic. Why?
Yeah, I know. You guys are just listening to a fucking Hitler speech.
That's how it goes. Welcome to the podcast. Just starting now for the first time.
My name's Jeff Stonick. Introduce yourself. Say your name so we can do the voices for people.
My name's Elliot. This is what my voice will sound like for most of the remainder of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, how y'all doing? My name's Joshua. Nice to meet you.
Why are you asking them how they're doing?
Hey,
I don't care.
My name is Jacob Jonas.
You sound dead inside, man.
That's because I can't hear myself. I can't. There's
well,
no
I'll
fun.
Let you know. I'll
it's
let
like
you.
I'm just talking, you know?
It's true.
Why don't you buy Evan another pair of headphones? How
I
about
should.
That? Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. I'm going to start my own podcast, you know?
Oh, yeah?
Oh,
I'm
yeah?
going to wear 4 or 5 pairs of headphones.
Start your own podcast now?
How would you do? What did you do?
And
like
they'll just start canceling each other out and then give me brain cancer.
That's how it works, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to do a podcast when you go on the road?
I think I will, actually.
Oh.
And oh, I'm dogs. Actually thinking it's going to be a pretty in-depth Jacob Jonas podcast.
Well, okay. What do you mean by that?
I don't know. I've like started to list out just like, you know, they're not going to be like hour long or whatever, but I was toying around with the idea of like doing like short 20-minute podcasts. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to make money on the road. So yeah. Like possibly do what we were thinking about where it's like one free podcast a week, one on the Patreon, $5 subscription. And then, yeah, I don't know, just talk about, socio-political events, mental health, you know, whatever other shit comes to my head.
I like how you like the two things. You're like, what are the two like important things? What are two things that are going to make me sound fancy?
Well, me like, sound fancy and two things that I genuinely have interest in. Also drugs and Snapchat Explore stories. But you guys don't know about that. But like, I'm going to go on a big rant about it. It's going to be epic.
Can't wait.
Hey, you know me how, sound fancy.
Yeah.
Me sound fancy.
You know how you were saying?
It's actually I sound fancy, Jeff.
Well, I was repeating what you said.
Oh, did I say me?
Yes,
sound
you
fancy?
Did.
Yeah. You know how you can't hear yourself?
Yeah.
We can, and it sucks. So. It's,
how much money are you making every week?
Going back to that.
I like how you can tell you're excited because you're getting kind of shy about it. You
know? I know.
Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I am excited, though. Yeah.
You said you were telling me that you want to go on the road and do like some docu-series, like a dystopian, like how we're already in a dystopia.
Yeah.
Is that the right word? I don't know.
No, it's, and that's like a pretty basic, I'm still toying around with it, but I do think that it would be cool to, especially like with my editing skills, and I think that I do have a good eye for like quick cuts and everything. Am I close enough? I can't fucking hear myself.
yeah, you sound much better now. That's good. Say right there the whole podcast.
Yeah, I was toying around with the idea of doing like a little mini series with the basic premise that, you know, arguing that America is a dystopia or the United States is a dystopia.
Could you actually back up just a little bit? Go ahead.
Is that good?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can still hear you.
What's Canada? Is that a dystopia?
No, because I don't live there. So I'm just doing the country that I live in.
Is it maybe you're in hell? Have you thought about that?
I think that we're all in hell.
You're right? In hell? It sounds
you're
really
in hell.
Pissy.
I would rather be in poop hell.
I like how your eyes are darting between us. I
feel off. I can't hear myself. God damn it.
Could you actually get a little bit closer to the mic?
Yeah. Is that good? Yeah.
That's good right there.
Can we get him another mic?
Yeah, can we get two mic? If I get no headphones, I get two microphones.
That's
what about
good.
Is this better?
No, it sounds the same. Yeah. Give Josh's microphone back. Yeah.
So this is the second time we've all been in a room together.
Let's
in
go.
2022. Well, I actually remembered we were in a room together at Sputnik.
Oh,
remember
we had a
meeting, but that was like last time was the first time we recorded a podcast in 2022 as a group.
Yeah. And Sputnik's like a Chipotle for people that don't know, right?
No.
Not at all.
You're talking about
the bar that's wrong.
Yeah. Well, how would you describe Sputnik?
A bar with food.
Okay.
Yeah, Planned Parenthood's kind of like a bank.
For
people that don't know. You were thinking of Illegal Pete's.
No, I mean, Sputnik's a restaurant. Chipotle's a restaurant.
Chipotle's not a restaurant. I wouldn't call it a restaurant.
Oh.
Really?
Would you call it a restaurant?
Well, okay. This is just you and your snobby shit.
What do you mean? I'm sorry. I like to be accurate. I don't know.
You do.
Is that snobby?
No, it's not snobby at all.
There you go.
Wait, does Evan still have headphones?
I don't like that idea.
Honestly,
I do think that it's probably more important for Evan to have headphones.
Absolutely.
I think that my selfishness like overcame my critical thinking skills, and I was like, well,
give me those.
Did you give him the headphones, or did he ask for them?
I didn't ask for them.
Oh,
he
okay.
gave them to me.
Okay.
So.
Well, always check. Always make sure there's consent when you give headphones.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
There was consent. But it turned out it wasn't the best idea anyway, which I do recognize now.
Yeah, been there.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
Sputnik, you kind of look at me. I don't. What do you know? You got a little notebook there. You got any ideas you want to talk about?
Yeah, this is where I was going to write down. It's a tiny notebook, so I think it would be really good for
those tiny deals you're making.
Those little minnow deals.
Yeah, yeah. Where I can write down kind of the names of everyone I've surpassed or something.
That's a cute notebook.
Yeah.
What's that red on the outside?
It's the color red.
I think it's burnt orange.
Yeah, it's definitely orange.
It's a tiny notebook for my big ideas.
How do you not know what color this notebook is?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what color the notebook is.
You know, that would be a perfect notebook to like put everyone that you have murdered or want to murder in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Something you could swallow easily in front of the police.
Can we get a preview?
I'll write it down. We'll start with Jacob.
Yeah, I knew that that was going to be my name right at the top.
Oh, man. How many people do you think want to murder you?
Jacob Rupp.
Probably at least 10.
At least 10?
Yeah.
That's a mighty high opinion of yourself.
Yeah, no, I think that at least 10, but I think that there's a much longer list of people who dislike me or who are probably annoyed by me. or have negative feelings towards me, which is fine.
Which doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Which doesn't faze me at all.
That you're doing something right.
Oh, dude, since this is the first time I'm thinking about it, would you, is this like a is that a TikTok related thing?
Probably. I mean, I've made it's like not even like my TikToks are that controversial, but like everyone on TikTok and the internet in general is so mentally ill that they get offended at everything. And it's not even like I'm trying to be edgy or like
you fucking noob,
right? Yeah, like the fucking Modern Warrior shit. Like I don't know. Like I think that you know I'll make like a TikTok, bro. I made a TikTok. I was thinking about this the other day. Like I made a TikTok about a guy who got the word infidel in Arabic tattooed on his arm.
I remember that.
And I was dunking on him because I was like. Like you're fucking stupid. Like you just basically got their language tattooed on your arm, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I, dude, my fucking comments were flooded with people who were like, "Oh, you think Arabic is just a Muslim language?" Like, and it was like thousands of people.
Wow,
that's just crazy. You are kind of ignorant, though. It'd be like getting like Sputnik in Spanish on your arm or something, you know?
It doesn't connect. It doesn't. I don't.
Oh my god, I can't believe I have to be in a room with you guys, listeners. Like and subscribe.
You don't have to be here.
I'm glad I am. I made it work.
We all make this choice to be here.
That's true, man.
Yeah, I moved stuff around to be here.
I'm happy I'm here, man. It's nice to see you boys.
Yeah.
I just watched Jacob go,
Evan, babe, do you have your vape?
That's something I will ask for because it doesn't lower the quality of the podcast.
I thought you stopped vaping.
I do it occasionally.
Yeah.
That's not stopping.
No, I didn't say that I would stop. I would stop vaping, but I basically vape like once or twice a week now, and then I zin the rest of the time.
Okay.
And it's like usually my mentality is very black and white, where it's like if I fucking vape once, like I'm done, and I can just do it forever now.
Do you own a vape, or do you just bum off of other people now?
I just bum off of other people, but people who want to give their vapes to me.
I can tell they do because I ask them, and they do.
I'm just kidding. It's
who, Evan and Lewis?
Oh, I don't hit fucking Lewis's vape, dude. I do not trust
that. Was it going to come out of there?
Yeah, it's not a vape.
Yeah, I just see him always holding that fucking battery pack.
I know, and all of Lewis's vape juice is no nicotine.
Really?
Like he smokes crack, but he doesn't fucking vape nicotine.
No, we can't be name dropping people and their
drug
use. I'm not
saying his last name. Also, he says it on his podcast.
Okay, that's fair. Whatever.
Yeah, but do people listen to his?
Do people listen to ours?
Fair.
Yeah, I don't know. Listeners, write in if you just found out that Lewis Martinez.
Don't say his name.
No, we can bleep it out.
We can bleep that out.
That's a different.
Evan, can we bleep that out?
Okay. Evan's giving us the okay. We can bleep Lewis Martinez's name. Lewis Martinez, who lives at this address, who smokes crack and sells crack.
Should we bleep out crack too?
Bleep, 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 bleep.
Yeah.
It'd be fun if they were trying to guess what it is. The people, the listeners. Jeff, talk to us about the crop top.
Are you wearing a crop top? Oh, you are.
Yeah, you posted a pretty suggestive picture on Instagram the other day.
Did you?
With the crop top.
Which one?
The crop top picture. It was like the...
With this shirt?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean to post that, so I deleted it. Oh,
did you take it down?
I meant to do it with the reveal of the show.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm going to post it.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah,
it's like I didn't kill myself last week, so I don't give a shit how I look this week. You know,
man, I didn't kill myself at the beach on March 15th.
Fucking, that's fucking. You look fucking cut there, man.
I am fucking cut.
Good for you.
No, that picture,
I'm giving you a compliment.
You don't have to keep. I've seen it. Okay. I've seen it.
No, take a look. I look like Daniel Craig coming out of in the Bond movie.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a little much.
Can I see it again?
You're right. I don't have blue eyes, but
when you posted the crop top picture, I was like those two gay guys that hit both of us up after the Dead Room that were like hitting on us both in the DMs.
Yeah, hitting on you both equally.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
we were like, sharing the screenshots.
Yeah, we were sharing the screenshots because Jeff like messaged me. He's like, "Hey, I see you follow this dude. Like, is he hitting on or like I don't even know what
you asked if you knew him because you were talking to that one guy who was kind of buff with the arm.
No, that's August. That's
okay, like, I didn't know.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But you saw that I followed him and you're like, "Oh, is this, you know, whatever? Like, is he hitting on you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then we shared screenshots.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he asked me out to dinner. And
oh, did he?
Yeah, and I said no, and then thankfully he stopped.
Okay.
Most of the people have stopped hitting. Like
I'm not attracted to you.
I would either not open their messages, or I would make sure they seen. And after like six
usually after about six messages that have gone unresponded to,
they'll stop.
They'll stop.
That's interesting.
Sometimes they don't though. Not gay guys, but like people in general.
No, yeah, I had a guy from who I met at Fringe last year, who I finally just blocked.
Louis really?
Martinez. Yeah. No, he does that live and in person.
Yeah, okay. He does.
Which sucks. Yeah. You can't just block him.
You can't. Well, I mean, you can block him. I've done it before, where you stop responding. Like he'll get, you know, we'll bleep him out. He gets in your face, man, and he just like breathes on you.
Yeah,
you
know? I've wondered if it's worse to block someone if that. Like, because you never know their personality, so I never know if it's gonna like rile them up more and make them more like intense or like aggravated. Should I ever see them in person down the road?
But how do they wouldn't know you blocked them? Besides your
oh, they would definitely
They definitely know. They're like, where's that sexy guy? I haven't seen him in my feed. Let me go to his profile. All of a sudden, not there.
Yeah.
It's
Instagram user now. Oh,
you yeah. Know. But you can be like, oh yeah, I deleted Instagram.
That's no bullshit.
That just ties you up into more lies. You gotta stick by it, and you gotta say, hey, you're being weird, and I felt uncomfortable,
so I blocked you.
Yeah.
What happened with the guy with Fringe?
He just has messaged me like three times a week, almost two or three times a week since last June.
Jesus. What does he say?
It's March. The last message I got, a lot of it's like heart reaction or tongue out emojis or whatever like right. that. And the last one I got was, you looking, you getting lean, Billie Jean. And I'm like, okay, I'm done here.
It's not even that bad.
Really?
I'm just sick of it.
It's
like,
a little draconian.
You blocked him on a rhyme?
I don't think that word means what it means.
Draconian is very harsh action to very...
interesting.
Look it up.
It was the year and months of fucking messaging. And I'm
that's true.
I'm like, it's just at some point I don't want to let him spectate of what I'm doing, because it's constant and it's not getting the hint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are some people where it's where they like, they have zero self-awareness, and then they continue to message and they continue to what, and it's like, what is going on in your head?
Right.
Where it's like, there still could be something.
Right. There comes a point where it's like, yeah, just move on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Yeah. I'll reach that point if I like message a girl like twice on like Instagram.
Yeah.
Or just whatever.
Hold, I'll hold that out.
Yeah. And I'll be like, you know what? I'm done.
Right. Exactly.
Whatever.
Right.
Sounds like you'd be good at sales. Persistence.
I am. Wait, you're gonna knock over the water.
I saw that. I pulled it back.
Why don't you just pick it up off the ground?
Yeah, why is it on the ground in the first place?
Why is it on the ground? There's a table right in front of
it. Well, when I set it on the table, it made an echoey noise.
Well, listen.
Jeff has not drank the water.
I guess I could have just set it there to begin.
Ellie's not happy about it.
No, I think it's better for everyone.
You think? God damn, Ellie. Yeah. How are you a salesman?
There's a good chance that could have got knocked over.
I'm very good at sales. I sell the poetry. You get denied by like 90% of the people, but then the guy that
messages you six times with no response is good at sales.
Oh, okay.
It's all about being in the opportune moment, persistence, right?
It's all about being.
He doesn't have to get
by
you
that
every...
logic, like any like person who sexually assaults a person is good at sales.
Well, we don't have to go that far, but I guess what I was going to say is he doesn't have to get you every
time.
Sorry,
when I was saying it, I was like, this is probably not a good analogy. It was coming out of my mouth. I was like,
what did you just call Elliot right now?
I'm not saying that you're that kind of person, but you are good at sales.
And persistent, yeah. You don't have to get them every time. You just have to get them when they need
stalker
you.
Stalker would be better.
Yeah.
But by that logic, then every stalker would be.
Yeah, there's a Venn diagram, you know. Mm-hmm.
And it's a circle.
Exactly.
Every salesman is also a stalker.
Yeah. I'm on board. I agree.
Okay. We were all looking at you to respond.
Yeah.
No, I just feel like, are you going to explode sometime? Or
oh,
you,
yeah.
I feel like you're, yeah, okay.
For sure. Right. I wouldn't be sitting this comfortably if I wasn't very near an edge.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm balanced. For now.
Ellie, we should go shooting sometime.
I agree. I agree.
I did get a nice message from someone I knew in Indianapolis today. I guess nice. Yeah, it was nice. They're like, me and the girls were talking, implying like me and the other girls I was in an improv troupe with.
Yeah.
And we're like, they said, I don't know what the exact quote was, but is Jeff like a good skinny or like a we should be worried skinny? Because I was like open about bulimia in Indianapolis, and I was like, oh fuck, I'm eating a lot. Don't thank you though.
Well, yeah, besides the fasting. But
they didn't tell you?
Fasting is healthy, by the way.
I'm actually, I've stopped intermittent fasting for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I've lost weight. So.
Really?
Yeah.
How does that work? Maybe it's all bullshit then.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
No, because it's worked for me. So. Yeah.
He's in better shape than you are.
I know he is. Yeah. But that's also because I've started to drink alcohol and I also eat. I think I eat a lot of meat. I don't know if that has to do with.
I eat mostly vegetables.
Maybe it was just booze. Because you quit booze around the same time you started fasting.
No. Okay. No, he quit booze like, what, a year before?
Two years before, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I was still a thick
How long have you been sober now?
Like over 3 years.
Over 3 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been celibate for 3 years.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good for you.
And I've been sober in terms of no weed and anything. I've been sober for like 3.5 weeks.
Yeah, for Lent, right?
Yes, for Lent.
Absolutely. And you gave it up for Lent too? Or?
I gave up weed. I'm drinking alcohol a little more frequently
than I was. You gave up weed for Lent? You're Jewish.
Not for Lent, but it was around the same time that Jeff gave it up. By the way, giving up weed was a massive positive in my life. Like,
yeah, not as noticeable. You're much cooler to hang around.
Yeah, well, it's just with me, it's like I start smoking weed and then it's like, on the weekends, right? On weekend nights and then on weekday nights and then before work. Literally.
Yeah.
And then literally like before any activity that I do, before a shower, before whatever, it's like I'm smoking like a fucking 1/2 ounce of weed a week, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I got high all the time at Costco. There was even a time when I was working for the mayor where I would like bike home and smoke weed and like bike back and just sit in the fucking office.
Right.
Honestly,
you weren't happy.
The mayor. Oh, yeah. So unhappy. But
yeah. But honestly, it is kind of like, it's kind of a cool feeling to like be high and go into an office building.
Yeah.
And then like be in front of your little computer.
And you're just like, I'm getting away with something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels interesting.
Doing your little job, talking to your little coworkers.
Yeah.
All fucking,
like, yeah. Calling clients and stuff. And
all blazed
like,
out.
Oh, they have no idea, you know?
Yeah, how freaking high I am.
Or just like in a crowd of 20,000 people.
Oh, yeah, you.
And you're telling them to go to the back of the line.
Yeah, you're yelling at little white kids, and you're like, they have no idea I'm high.
So it is. Yelling at kids to stop running is, it just gets me
I bet
hard
that that's
now,
pretty
dude.
Funny.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
I bet that's pretty entertaining.
I wouldn't have said that, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
It's fun to yell at people to not run just in places, just where it's like they're adults and it's okay to run. But you're just like, hey, no running. And they're like, well, this is the Cherry Creek Trail. And you're like, I don't know.
They're like, this is the DMV and I'm walking.
I'm high. Hey, slow down. All right. So we covered the crop tops. That's been good. So did you just like, you feel better about your body? So you started wearing crop tops, or you just like found a pair of scissors or what?
Yeah, I had these bigger shirts and I started cropping them. Usually I'm like coming out of a mental slump when I start cropping shit.
Yeah, when you start slicing. Yeah.
Is that
it's good now? The other way around is worse.
Well, yeah. When you go into a mental slump and then start cutting.
Yeah,
that's no good.
Right.
Yeah.
When you save the cutting for after. Oh yeah, I was like in a mental slump last week for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then came out of it, and so I cropped this hoodie yesterday.
Yeah. What do you do with the bottoms?
I come into them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I.
That's actually probably pretty good comrade.
You could probably. You could sell that probably based on the amount of Instagram messages.
If you hadn't fucking blocked all those people, you could probably sold it.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's how you get them to stop talking to you.
There you go.
They're like, hey, baby. And you're like, hey, if you're not getting the hint, do you want to buy the bottom of my cummy sweatshirt?
Yeah. You turn into the salesman, all right? You turn into that.
I am.
And then you're messaging them 3 times a week. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be like a whole new slew of problems if you started selling your cum rags.
Cum rag. Yeah. I mean,
hey, only 3 sweatshirt bottoms left. Get them while they're hot or colds, depending.
Sell them as like dead room
hot.
Merch.
Yeah.
That's gross. I wouldn't, you know, be opposed. I am opposed to that. I don't ever want to get into that territory.
Mm-hmm. About selling your excrement stuff, your ectoplasm.
Yeah, and like anything that is in that territory, you know. Like I'm sure I could try to do an OnlyFans.
What about your
toenails? A little money, but I don't want to do that. No,
why not?
That's a good question. Why not? I don't know. Why not? I think because it just there's like a filthiness to it.
That's so hot. Keep going.
And I also And I guess I'm getting into weird territory. Like, I don't want to shame people for what they're into, but I don't.
Two seconds ago, you were like, it was filthy. It's disgusting.
Whoever's into that's a pig, but I don't want to shame you.
Yeah, it seems like it's just like, I don't want to participate in that.
Oh, too bad you have to. Those are the rules, right, guys?
So you're saying that, like, if somebody wanted to buy, like, a pair of your socks for, like, $200, you wouldn't do it?
Well, if the price is right, folks.
Yeah, that's the price. $200? I mean,
yeah, hypothetically. Everyone's let's just a say whore.
What's the price?
$100 per sock. You just have to wear them for a week and a half straight.
Oh.
And then you put them in a bag and then sell it, and then they give you, you know.
How many pairs of socks? It's not like I have experience.
Yeah. I know, you really do.
This is all hypothetical, but, you know, you put them in a bag and then you send it to 4518.
What's Luis Martinez's address?
We have said his name so much. Motherfucker stole $150 from me.
Stop.
He did not. He did not.
Listen.
You get what you pay for.
I do get what I pay for, and I don't want to go into it.
You sent him socks and he owes you money. We get it.
He is done right by every other person's car.
No, it was because he knew that the thermostat in my ignition was not the issue, and he like literally, like, when I was there, he was like, oh, this kind of looks new, and then he was like, yeah, I'll do it over the night, and then my thermostat was fine, but he was like he saw it and he was like, oh, I can just, like, if the thermostat's not the issue, then I have to do more work and I would still get paid the same. And so he basically replaced it when it didn't need to be replaced. But whatever, it doesn't even...
Yeah, you definitely need to talk to him about this.
I have. We're all cool.
He sounds like a good salesman.
Yeah, he is a good salesman. But yeah, anyway, what we're talking about, selling your sock for $200.
Yeah, not into it.
You wouldn't do it?
Is it sex work in general or just kind of like the...
Yeah,
like,
are you just shaming fringe sex workers?
Or no, I'm not. You know, I just think... I think I would rather... At this point in my life, keep making money the way that I am and maintain that hustle. Like, and I don't need a lot of money to be happy. So,
I don't get it.
Because I heard Zach Moss talk about, like, when we all saw him in at the Savage Henry Festival in Humboldt. Like, he was just talking about. He's like, yeah, I just got my cost of living down, and I don't need a lot to be happy. And I really like admired that, and I could tell the genuine. Sound in his voice, and so like I wanted that for myself, and I think I've reached it. I definitely want to like I'm gonna miss Fringe this year.
Oh yeah,
I haven't told Elliot yet.
Why is that?
Because I'm starting to sell pins at music festivals with other guys, and there's the Electric Forest is that weekend.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't care about money. But he's giving up a memory making opportunity with his friends to make money. So
absolutely, you know, JJ. This is the last Fringe that JJ is ever gonna do.
Could you sell?
We've done one Fringe. Yeah, you say that like we've done eight Fringes and they've all been amazing. We had one fun Fringe, but like one show was great.
And then
two shows were good.
Two shows,
and then all the other shows were
all right.
Yeah,
I mean, we made money.
We got,
which is not important.
We also got the travel, though.
We got burnt out by the end of the weekend.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that did suck.
What if you sold your what are they, pens, pins or pens?
Pins.
What's the difference?
I'm selling pins.
Okay, so you don't write pins with this. For hats. It goes on your jacket.
Correct. Pins and hats and shit.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay. What if you sold those at Fringe?
There's not the market for it. They're like EDM specific pins. Like, hey, we got.
And what's your tie to this?
Hey, you put them on your hat.
You designed them?
No, Andrew Leipzig and David Leipzig.
Oh, I know them.
It's been Andrew's sole living. It's the sole way he's made a living, and he's put himself to flight school and bought, you know, renovated a house and bought a small plane on it, and it's been his sole thing for like 7 years, and I just see it as a way to... So, like, I'm messaging a bunch of bookers and talking to them in Chicago and the Midwest, so I'm going to drive out to Michigan, get my gas paid for, by this company to like drive out to Michigan do comedy on the way back. So in my mind, this was my year. I was going to lose money on my savings to like get on the road as much as possible. And now I have an opportunity to get on the road as much as possible and have guaranteed money at these weekends till then to not only not lose money on these road trips, but gain money.
Well, right. Not necessarily guaranteed money. You have an opportunity to make the money.
Yeah, right. I still got to do the job well and shit. And
I mean, that's important.
Yeah.
Right.
it's not like a, you're not signing a contract. You still have to move product, baby.
Right.
Got to hit that hustle.
But I feel like I have the skill set to do it just based on how I've been doing poetry already and selling that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think you'd be good at that. It's like a salesman thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Turn in. Yeah, just get that aggressive.
Yeah, turn and burn, baby. Let's go. Close deals.
I'm currently wearing multiple pins I got at music festivals. Woo! So the market's
that,
there.
That's your customer so, right yeah, there.
So when you buy them, like, they're people like in the campsite that are going up to you and shit?
Yeah, they're just walking around with like a glass case.
Yeah.
Okay. Full of all kinds of niche little things that, well, yeah, it's like it's also like one of those communities where they fucking love those shiny things.
Right, right. Yeah.
And then they collect them and like you're on so many drugs that you need something to remember that you were there.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
How much do the pins go for?
25.
I've spent too much on like limited edition ones specific for the festivals and stuff. And then what you do is you just like sell one and then you buy three more, you pick them up off the ground or whatever, and you keep selling them.
Yeah.
It's a crazy marketplace.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Wow. And this, so the starting point for most of these pins is like $30. And then like these hats that we're selling, they're like $60. But like the people just have a ton of money. And especially coming out of COVID, like I feel like you just have a lot of money and a lot like.
Yeah, people were buying product at Tyler the Creator last night.
Man. Yeah.
Fucking just moving, man. Fucking.
I was at the Delta Sleep concert last night at the Marquee Theater. And then afterwards, I was selling poetry. And people were, these kids are walking out with like three different new vinyls and a t-shirt. And they're hundreds like, oh, dollars, and you have poetry? And then I'm like, yeah. So I don't feel bad at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because people have money to spend.
I don't think you should feel bad.
Yeah. Were you involved in the concert at all, performing? Or you just posted up outside a concert and sold your.
Well, I got a free ticket. From Andrew, because he's on the road, and he's like, I've had this Delta Sleep thing, and I'd never heard of the band. Had a great time, but then my pockets were lined with books, okay. and then just popped outside right during the last song, and then just started yelling, poetry for sale, organic, cage-free, local poetry, cruelty-free, well, not real cruelty-free. I've gone through it a lot, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's good.
And that gets people on. Yeah, that gets people.
Interesting.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool, and is it actually cage-free?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Not
this,
one.
This
cage.
Feels like a cage, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Your mind is a mental cage.
So the only thing that's captured is the hearts of my audience.
Right.
I what do you think the readership rate is of people that buy your poetry?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of people that buy poetry to be seen buying poetry.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Oh, yeah.
And then also like put poetry like on their main table or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's but like I on Monday night, I went up to the fort for that. The Fort Comedy Fort Mike, and I just posted up outside the Starbucks there, and I sold like six books, and someone came back and found me outside the Comedy Fort across the street and said, we started reading it and we liked it, so here's $20 more.
Oh, nice.
That's great.
That's very sweet. You know, so there was like legitimate reader, and some people like find it at Mutiny and post about it and tag me and stuff, which is nice.
Yeah
so it's getting out there. It's getting
author
read.
Yeah,
author
yes. Poet, author, comedian.
Sex worker.
Anti-sex
worker.
Anti-sex
worker.
Yeah, I've actually made a career out of not being a sex worker. I'm an anti-sex worker.
Would you, this is an open question, would you guys ever exclusively date somebody who was like an online sex worker, who had like an OnlyFans?
Sure.
Yeah.
You wouldn't?
Absolutely.
Exclusively? Well, I'm a polyamorous person now, so you know, I'm wide open. So
that's part of your identity now for the past 2 weeks?
Well, it's been since October. Thank you.
6 months. Wow.
6 months.
So exclusive is out of my vocabulary.
He's exclusively polyamorous. Right.
But the question,
why is it out of your, you want to keep expanding your vocabulary. Why are you taking words out of your vocabulary?
It's obviously not. I said it. I didn't say it. The E word.
The E word.
Also, you know, Josh and I are in relationships and we were able to, answer a hypothetical question. So I'm curious if that's something you're capable of or not exclusively.
Can you sell me the ability to answer a hypothetical question?
Jeff, what's preventing you from detaching from reality to participate in this conversation?
What's preventing you from entertaining a thought without actually accepting
it? I mean, really, it's a sense of empathy. It's a practice in empathy, man.
What?
Answering hypotheticals.
You're empathizing with us.
That's a better E word that I like. Yeah. I can get behind empathy. Yeah, I can. Yes, I would. I would date someone like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's also a bit of an oxymoron to say exclusively date. So you mean exclusively date someone who's a sex, because it wouldn't be an exclusive.
Oh, do you think it's not exclusive?
That it depends on how you view it. Well, so me personally, the reason I support like any person's right to do that. I support OnlyFans or whatever, but I don't think that I would exclusively
with your money too, right?
Yeah, with my money. And like, and I'm totally like fine saying that, but I don't think that I would exclusively date somebody who basically had an OnlyFans where they like posted nudes and they got like an amount of revenue from it.
Why? Yeah.
I don't because like that they're making money.
I would feel uncomfortable.
You would feel uncomfortable.
That sounds like you're insecure knowing that you're projecting.
Knowing that this like it other people be. Look like other people know what this person that you're fucking looks like underneath those clothes.
Yeah, that's probably a part of it.
Okay.
Why do you feel like you own their body?
I don't own their body. You know what I mean?
Well, for $6.99 a month, you do.
Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, I think that in an exclusive relationship, I would not feel comfortable with that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that's something you should grow out of, man. I think that's a.
Hey, listen. Call me a gun-toting conservative, but I don't think that I would grow out of that. I think I would grow into it.
Hot.
Why?
Wow.
Where does that come from?
I don't know.
So, like, what is a scenario in that dynamic that you see yourself as potentially being uncomfortable?
I wouldn't, like, the reason why I wouldn't feel comfortable, because I feel like being with somebody would be, it's an intimate and exclusive thing, and I wouldn't want to share that with other people.
But you're not sharing it with other people.
Because
that intimacy is still you and your partner.
Right.
Yeah. What they're doing is they're selling like fake intimacy. It's not real intimacy. I don't know if you know the relationship between people that use porn and like porn.
Oh, I'm aware.
It's not.
Hold on.
I'm pretty aware.
Hold on. What is it? You're about to break my freaking heart, dude. Finish it. Tell me what it is.
So is it?
It's not real, man.
That's what pushes me over. Then what's the money for?
Is it a fear of that person developing a level of intimacy that you share with this person?
No, not at all.
They would start developing with their clients?
I just think that like the naked human body is like a very intimate thing. And I think that... I would not feel comfortable with my partner sharing photos or whatever video with thousands of people all the time.
The naked body as an intimate thing is a very...
Old school.
Puritan. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very Puritan. Yeah, like conservative viewpoint.
It's one of my most conservative viewpoints that I hold. So it's like very anti-pornography, very anti...
Freedom.
Freedom.
Are they allowed to have other friends?
No. Oh, 100%. As long as I know them.
As long as I have the password to her phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you done the work on where that might come from? Like, is it like your family background?
No. I haven't done the work on where it comes from because I don't think it's an issue.
I would push back. I think it's an issue.
Hearing it.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, that's fine.
Well, I don't necessarily agree it's that it's an issue. I think we're putting our judgment onto Jacob's
think it's just a preference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like if most people that, within your, whatever this means, like within your potential dating pool heard this opinion, that there'd be a lot of pushback on that.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Seriously, like here's the thing. Like I'm completely fine with like being in a casual sort of thing with anyone who has an OnlyFans or whatever. But I think that if I fully invested all of my emotions and all of my effort into somebody, I would not want them.
You feel like you should be the only person to see them naked?
Yeah.
Interesting.
If I gave someone all three of my emotions, I would want.
Honestly,
there it is. Point. Hey. Sign, seal,
I swear
deliver.
To God, dude.
If that I don't know. Here's what it is. You're actually and you made the point yourself is that you're closing yourself off from a lot of different people because of this thing. Yeah. That's the issue is that like you're closing doors that you don't know what doors are going to be the ones that are going to make you the happiest in life. And honestly, I think it's a little bit immature of an opinion. I don't think it's necessarily wrong, like evil.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's like...
It's nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
I agree. I think because when I first like started like thinking of the jealousy involved with polyamory, I was very much the mindset of like, this is fucking difficult. And I've looked at it as approach of like stand-up comedy. This is fucking difficult, like to get good at it, and it takes years to get good at it. But I know like putting in the work is going to lead to more happiness and more growth and like shedding these, you know, and like, it's so it for, with that, it was just like, if I can work through this jealousy and kind of kill jealousy and really do the work and know that it's not going to be perfect or a linear journey, then I'm going to be in a better place. Just because like difficult areas that I view, I know those are areas for growth.
Right.
But you don't view this as an area for growth.
No, I don't think that it would be worth, like, I've never been interested in polyamory or anything like that.
No, this is...
I know, but it's like the same thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, like the idea of jealousy and like having sort of an open thing with multiple different people or whatever, whether it be on the internet or whether it be in person, it's never been like attractive to me. So I really don't have like an urge to grow myself in that way, if that makes sense.
Mm. But I mean, it's just interesting that like you have like a preference on what other people do. You know what I mean? Like that you're putting your preference on their actions.
I mean, everyone does that with anybody that you date. You always put your preference. Like you're not going to just date anybody, right? Like you have preferences and you have standards for who you want to open yourself up to and who, you know, you want to have a relationship with.
So what if you meet someone who like checks all the boxes, is down with your lifestyle and everything, and all of a sudden, you know.
It's funny, makes you laugh, knows how to cook.
That's definitely a valid question. And I think that if I got to that position, then I would have to weigh it out. But that would be something that would be, if we're talking about a hypothetical situation, I don't know if it would be a deal breaker or not. I mean, it would have to be like the absolute perfect person. And then if she or he, I don't know.
Good. Very helping to grow.
Or they.
There you go.
They are like, hey, this is a deal breaker for me where I'm not going to, you know, stop sex work or whatever. I don't know. Really, I guess then that's a deal breaker for them, and it would be a deal breaker for me. You know
right.
what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, like, they would have the standard of, like, oh, my standard is I'm doing this regardless.
If there's their income, too, you know
right.
what I mean?
No, yeah. And that's totally fine. Like, I definitely support that, but I just don't think that I would want to enter an exclusive relationship in that manner.
I'm also, like, thinking of, like, maybe someone you start dating, like, you're, like, a year into it or whatever, and then they want to go there. They want to start doing
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, what about you guys? Why don't we take the hot light off me? No.
What about if someone we were dating, hypothetically?
It was just like, hey, you know what? I think I want to start an OnlyFans, and, you know, what do you think about that?
Well, they've already said they're open to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a question then. Do you think... Can you imagine, Josh, and then we'll go to Elliot. Josh, do you imagine a deal breaker?
No.
Coming up in your relationship?
In terms of her to start selling OnlyFans?
No, not OnlyFans. Like, can you imagine something that, like, she would want to do or want to start doing something, or, like, a belief that came up or whatever, that would be a deal breaker?
Yeah, if she fell in love with another person, you know what I mean?
Okay.
At this point, like, I'm going to marry this girl. I love this girl.
Yeah.
It's at a place, I mean... She's 29, I'm 30. The way we fit each other, the way that our bipolar mental illnesses fit each other, the way that we're able to support each other in the, just because we both just are hard workers, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That I want to build a base and I want to create this life, like in terms of when we're talking decades, the goals that we have, they all line up with each other. That the deal breaker happens in the little things. The things of the day to day, in terms of being able to communicate effectively, in terms of being able to manage my own anger, like for me, that a relationship is a evolving thing. There's this law of impermanence that you have to keep reacting to the new person that is developing with you, but is also developing. Like you can't control their development.
All right.
So there's something about love that you're able to sort of meet people where they're at constantly. And when that stops happening, you start growing apart, and then you shouldn't be together. It's not a deal breaker. It's just that it becomes so obvious that you, because that also happened to me. I was in a long-term loving relationship that we started growing apart, and it was like we shouldn't be together anymore. And I'm thankful every day that she made that decision for us. And
yeah,
because she was much stronger than I was. And so having gone through that, there's not really deal breakers, because I don't think there's going to be this like big thing that I don't know about her that she suddenly wants. I'm going to see it going that way, and I'm going to communicate different like insecurities that I have, and we'll just work it out and take it day by day. Like, yeah, that's all you can
keep taking for those little steps to meet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's a good point, that it wouldn't just like, once you're in a relationship with someone for a certain point, it's not just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Deal breaker. She's like, hey, I hope this isn't a deal breaker. I have to murder your sister. Is that going to be a deal breaker? Is that out of left field?
Well, like, yeah, something, it's never going to be that drastic.
Right. Yeah. Right?
You hope.
Well, you don't know. You know, right. It can't happen.
Yeah. And if that was it, you're like, okay.
You're like, okay, one more deal breaker. And then I'm out of here.
Yeah. Well, that's strike one. And I'll tell you this, you only get four or five more of those. Tell you that right now.
Thank God I don't have more sisters.
I'll be out of sisters before you're out of strikes.
Yeah.
But that's why communication is so important in relationships.
Yeah.
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 Probably more accurate, I think.
Yeah. When I communicate like effectively with like Bianca and what we know, and when it's like scary, I do find myself approaching communication in a new relationship with fears of how communication has gone in past relationships.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, this could be the end of it all because blah blah blah. Other partners' indecisiveness or the way they were in things, and it's never that. But like when you move through that, you communicate effectively. There's just like enormous high, and you feel almost invincible as a couple, like moving forward when you kind of like conquer difficulty and shit like that.
It's rewarding. You know what I mean? Yeah, because you found somebody that you've been in the situation before. And then they react differently, and you're like, "Oh, you're much better than this other person that I've had this." This is for everybody. Have you ever been in a conversation, like in a relationship, and you can feel the car crash starting, like in the conversation,
and then
the car crash does happen, and it's just like you're like fully rolling, and that
because I mean, Emily and I, like, when this past relationship, like, she started like saying shit like she doesn't maybe want to be together or is indecisive around Christmas. And we finally broke up like a year ago to like this week. Uh-huh. So that was like 3 months of back and forth.
I remember.
3 months of thinking like, oh, this is just black ice that I'm on. That was just a little patch of that. Oh, yeah, we can work through it. Yeah, that's tough. Because like sometimes you can work through it. And you always want to believe that you can work through it. And you always want, you know. But yeah, sometimes you can't catch the signs.
Yeah.
this is a piece of hair that I'm twirling.
you and I are thinking, we look over at Jacob and he's twirling a piece of hair into the light.
What are we talking about? Car crashes? I thought you were just talking about like incoming fights where like you know that like a big fight is about to happen or whatever. Uh-huh. I think that I probably have the least amount of relationship experience out of all four of you.
Yeah.
Five of us. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that feeling of like where you're like, oh, this is not going well. And like one of us is going to have to make a decision or, you know, it's just going to devolve into worse behavior on both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elliot?
Interesting. Yeah. Well, you definitely feel the like, oh, something's we're missing something right now. So we're going to have to talk about it soon.
Yeah,
that's what I've experienced.
Yeah, it's like a pimple.
Or we're gonna have to address this at some point, and then that'll probably be ongoing for a while. But it's also a good thing. It's kind of like you said, where the challenge is an opportunity for growth.
Yeah.
Uh oh, something's not working right now.
Yeah.
So we have an opportunity for growth going into this. If you wanted to be optimistic.
What's crazy is that you can grow together, you can grow apart, man.
Yeah.
Because growth is gonna happen.
Yeah, but the challenge provides. There's probably something that's been missing communication-wise that's now coming up, and we're going to have to figure out what it is.
Sometimes it becomes clear that you guys are two different people.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jeff, do you recommend your strategy, your communication strategy in your current relationship to other people where you just communicate by haiku? Is that productive, you think?
Very much so. Always write poetry for your partner.
Can we just let the listeners know, you wrote like a bad haiku, didn't you, that Emma was able to just pick out, right?
Yeah. Well, so...
Would you like to apologize?
Absolutely
Emma,
not.
Emma who?
Emma Perkins. So I posted a haiku, the Irish Rover haiku.
Oh.
And she's like, that's not...
575?
575. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's 585. It's a haiku. She's like, that's wrong.
Haiku and has one rule.
I understand.
You didn't know the 575.
Oh, yeah. I released a whole book of poetry, paid my rent off that poetry with the wrong form of
just
the haiku.
Apologize. Oh, just apologize.
I will not.
Just apologize.
No. Now I'm like the Riddler, and this is not how it was supposed to go. I will not apologize.
That's funny.
Now, shout out
Emma Perkins. That was a baller ass move.
I know. It was like months after the fact. And now I call them haikus. You know, it's just a new form.
Shut up. Wow. Shut up.
We've invented a new form.
It was a mistake. It was not intentional.
You made a big oopsie.
It's not art. All right.
Listen,
that's
the haiku died in 1945.
Jeffrey doesn't know how to
twice.
Make haikus. What is that? 8-7 whatever?
Yeah. Jacob just reads a phone number off. Yeah, that was what. Hey, and you know what? That was probably just a really good opportunity for growth.
It was. It was. You did not take.
Yeah.
What? Apologize to who?
I don't know.
The people who bought your books.
Yeah, the people.
They bought your books. Good poetry, and I gave them good poetry.
Who invented the haiku?
No one said, "Hey, I'm going to buy this only if you got the proper haiku."
That's not what it is. It's the principle of the thing. Man.
It is the principle.
I would like to apologize to the Japanese people who invented the haiku.
Wow, that's good.
Okay,
thank you.
I mean, I'm glad that, because that infers that he wronged the entire Japanese population.
I did. They've all been holding it against me.
That's the two nukes, and then.
Yeah, first it was Hiroshima, then it was Nagasaki, then it was Jeff Stonik, which was arguably worse than both.
Telling me, man.
Because it was a decimation of culture.
Yeah.
Oof. We were talking about phone numbers. Can I start a new conversation?
No. Okay.
Something that happened to me recently?
Oh, yeah.
Just go for it.
Okay, thank you. So,
thanks for asking permission.
Yeah, well, I thought it would be better. And
so I found this piece of hair.
If I didn't ask permission, I would say sorry. No, you know how I fuck with like telemarketers all the time and everything? Uh-huh. So I got a call 2 days ago. It actually kind of freaked me out. So it was this woman, and it was like they were trying to...
Is that
to,
why it freaked you out?
It is. Well, it is. I mean, it's not important, but whatever. And so she was selling car insurance. Okay. And so I was at work. I was bored. I didn't have anything to do. So I led her on for about 10 minutes and I just made like, and they're like, oh, what is the make and model of your car? Like, who's your insurance company? How much are you paying for insurance? And I said some like outlandish shit where I'm like, oh, I'm paying $4,500 a month for insurance. And I went with it. And she was like, that's so crazy. Like, that's such a large amount. And so I went on for about like, I think it was like 11
Goo-goo
or 12.
Goo insurance.
No, like literally, I said that I was Geico. Like I had Geico and I was like, yeah, I'm paying off insurance for a 1996 Toyota Corolla. And she was like, how much is it? And I'm like, $4,500. And she was like, no, you're deductible. I was like, $4,500. And she's like, that's insane. And I'm like, I was like, listen, I pay this guy twice a week. Like I just, like I went fully in. And she was like, are you a homeowner? I was like, yes. And then she was like, do you have a family? Whatever. And then she got to the point where she like asked my middle initial or my middle name. And she was like, I can't find you in our system. And I straight up told her, I was like, yeah, I'm just fucking with you. Like, I'm bored. And like, usually at that point I just hang up, but I was like, I'll just see what she says. And she got pissed. Like she was really mad.
Wow.
She was like, and by the way, this is it's a scam. Like it's not a legitimate business or whatever. And she was like, why would you do that? And I literally told her, I was like, I'm just bored. And she, she was like, why are you messing with me? Why are you messing with somebody who's working? And I'm like, I'm working right now. Like, you don't. I was like, literally, I told her, I was like, your entire job is to bother people. Like you do not do anything. And so she basically, I went in on her, but she hung up. And I swear to God, for maybe 3 hours, about 3 minutes or 5 minutes after the call ended, I got a call from a no caller ID, and so I answered it, and it was silent, and I said the same name. I was like, hello, this is Jonathan, because I said that was like my name, and I knew that it was her, and then she said, loser, and then she hung up. And then, no, get this. She kept calling back for 3 hours on the no caller ID number. I couldn't call her back. And every time that I picked up and I answered, there was nothing. Like, it was like, it was just like dead silence or whatever. And she did it for like 3 hours. And I literally had to like Google how to block no caller ID numbers. But yeah, it was kind of scary for like a couple hours. I was like, man.
How do you, for the listeners?
You actually have to, there's multiple ways, but you can, you create a contact in your contacts, called no caller ID, and you don't even have to put a number in there. You just block it. And then any contact that has no caller ID will not go through.
Yeah. That's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you want to know more about how to do that, I just need your phone number and your credit card.
Yeah, it was fun, though.
Damn, that's wild. When did that happen?
I think Monday or maybe yesterday. No, it was, yeah, it was Monday.
Today. It was, that was just, yeah. That just happened just now. That's cool.
That's funny. Fun.
It is fun.
So this is why you should just get high at work.
Yeah, because like that would be... No, I think that if I got high, I would not nearly... I wouldn't enjoy it nearly as much.
No, definitely not. You'd be a little more paranoid.
How much? So you spent like 15 minutes on the on the phone with her?
Okay. Yeah.
And then she just, how many times did she call?
I can like literally see in my
call log.
Yeah, my call log. And I literally got annoying. So I downloaded the AT&T app and I tried to get in because if you get the AT&T app, you can, all of your call logs, they will show the no caller ID, but they will show the actual number. But I couldn't remember my, my fucking login, and it was like a pain in the ass to get it back. She called me. So it was from the last call that she made was 2:55 p.m. and the first call that she made from the no caller ID was 1:15 p.m. So it was like an hour, but
an like hour literally and, well, hour and like 30 minutes. Jesus,
that's like 20 right there, man.
I know. It was literally, it was crazy.
Did she call you loser every time?
No, she called me loser the first time, and then every time I picked up and it was like silence. And it was really fucking annoying.
And wow. She's here now. Let's bring her in.
I can God. Call back the actual, like the number that called me before it rerouted.
Should we call it right now?
Yeah, you can call it right now. And it there's like it's an automated woman that picks. I think she's automated, but let's see.
The person at extension 1001 is unavailable.
Maybe, what if it's just from your number?
They might have blocked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to call on your, can you call on your phone number?
Yeah, Ellie's got his phone right there. Mine's charging.
What's the number?
719.
Should we bleep this out too?
No.
Or no?
No. 719.
Everyone call this number if you want.
719-316-0120.
0120. 20. And what's the rest?
Oh, what the fuck?
Bummer.
Yeah, because I called him back like once or twice and it was the same woman that picked up. They might just like
new number.
Yeah,
new
juggle around number. Phone numbers.
Maybe we should text. I'll text her.
Anyway,
that was cool. No, I like that. That was interesting.
Have you ever heard of those numbers that ladies can give out? That's a rejection phone number.
So
guys will get the number and they'll be satisfied on a piece of paper. Sure. And then when they call it, it's like, yeah, you're a creep. This girl purposely gave you a number that does not exist.
That's great.
She doesn't like you. Also, your mom's in the hospital.
So how did you bring that up? Is that a new bit you're working on?
No, that's no, literally just something just that happened just happened 2 days ago.
That's interesting though.
I have a question. I have a thought.
Yeah.
If you could from where you are right now, just achieve slightly higher, do you think you would either start doing something or stop doing something? Doesn't matter what it is, but do you think you just in what, and also in whatever realm? It's pretty vague.
Interesting.
But I'm
question.
Thinking about the basic concept of adding or reducing from your life to make it better. Do you start doing something or stop doing something?
I'm at a point where I should stop doing some things and do the things that I want to do better. And so I'm at that point. I got kind of scared at the beginning of the year, and so I'm like, I need to pursue every opportunity, every job thing. I went on like 12 interviews with these different part-time things. And I still stuck with the things that worked most, which was the zoo and ball arena. And so now I should just invest in that and then comedy. You know what I mean? And so that's, so I guess, I know what I want to get better at, and I need to reduce to get there.
Okay. Yeah, and it doesn't really matter what the thing is either, but you're obviously welcome to share if you can think of a thing that you should stop or start doing.
Yeah, I don't think I want to add to my life. That's a good question. I mean, I haven't, maybe this is me deflecting, but it does seem like you're busier. Like, so I've been thinking about you and this and your answer and stuff like that. It seems like you're busier with, you have more time at work than you, when you had a 9-to-5.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, and that was like your big kind of, talking point. And when you were shedding your 9-to-5, you wanted to work less to do comedy more. And it seems like you're working more, but happy.
Yes and no. I mean, the jobs that I have are, they're not comedy adjacent, but they do work comedy muscles.
Yeah.
And it is wealth to be able to walk to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's also like, I saw Tyler, the Creator for free last night. You know what I mean? And I'm going to go work the playoffs this year. And if they win the Stanley Cup, I'll be there when like they give the trophy out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like, cool.
That shit's dope to me.
Okay. But it's not what you want to do long term, though.
Well, funny you should say that. I'm having a conversation about careers in the sports industry, you know?
About what?
Careers in the sports industry.
An announcer or like a...
Yeah, I'd love to be in-game entertainment, you know, the people with the microphones, even just throwing stuff into the crowd. Like right now, I get hundreds of people to sing Happy Birthday, and I'm still singing Happy Birthday for my job. But
it's
when when you control, I tell you what, tried and true, baby. Yeah.
Kind of hack, but it's a good bit.
Yeah, man. I like the feeling of live energy.
Yeah,
and I feel good at it, and so these people. I mean, the best entertainment in Denver is absolutely at Ball Arena. So why not learn how to get paid for it more?
Okay,
yeah, and it's a foot in the door, right? I got foot in the door, even at Denver Zoo, man. I have an interview tomorrow. We'll see, to get paid more.
Oh, really?
More regular hours?
Get a promotion? Yeah. Like a different position, or
yeah. So this one would be in the concierge.
Oh, nice. So like the ticket thing. Like ticket counter, concierge?
No. So that's what I'm doing now.
Oh,
it's a ticket thing. This is like a step up. It's like...
It's French for Sputnik.
You have...
What does concierge entail for the zoo?
It's more intense customer service. You have more ability to solve problems.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Within the
system. You're like this, like if somebody's like pissed... They're like, give me the manager, give me the person who can figure this out.
Then
and that
me.
Would be you.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah. Step it up, baby. Yeah.
When you proposed the question,
yeah,
I was like, I could maybe cut this out or I could add this. And so what I think I would like to add to my life is constant evaluation.
Okay.
Of what I'm doing. I think that would be more helpful.
Start doing something. And some of you might be asking, why do I have to start or stop to achieve more? Why can't I keep doing exactly what I'm doing? Because I know you guys. We can all do better. That's why.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you just would install this like software, then you would be running more efficiently.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's your entire job is to get people to add more shit to their life.
Jacob, you obviously want to subtract Denver from your life.
I want to subtract everyone that I love and know.
Amen. I fuck with that. That's what I did when I left Indy.
Yeah.
I fuck with that.
And then I would like to add strangers and alone time.
No, I do think, on a serious note, like probably subtracting, even though I think that I have been gradually subtracting substances out of my life and I'm very proud, probably do that more. But I think that overall, subtracting more things out of my life, like generally subtracting, you know what I mean? Like taking out more stuff and replacing it with better, more healthy things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, that's the whole idea of like living in a van is like, I'm subtracting rent. I'm subtracting comfort. I'm subtracting whatever. And the only thing I'm focusing on is comedy or entertainment or whatever.
Yeah, I am trying to stay at capacity, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
definitely.
Like you're saying, like I work more, but yeah, I want to. All my time is filled. You know what I mean? Like even my off time, fully scheduled in terms of like not doing anything. Like when I'm not doing anything, it's on purpose.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah. And I think stopping doing things can actually increase your capacity.
Yeah, which is why I do it.
Right. Okay. Know? That's what you're saying. Okay, I got you. Yeah. My answer is stop.
Oh yeah. What? Like, stop everything?
No. If I so
just end your life right now, Jesus.
No. If I had to choose to achieve slightly higher than I'm achieving now. Start doing something or stop doing something. Stop doing something. I think.
What would be the first thing?
I think it would be drinking is probably probably the thing I could stop to achieve more.
Do you? Is that still like? Is that like an everyday thing?
No. I drink way less, but I think maybe that's like where I became like aware of like, oh, I just felt like shit all the time because I was just like, there was always alcohol in my system. Even if I wasn't drunk all the time, I was always having a beer. Yeah, I was just always having a beer, it felt like. Like, I would wake up and there'd be a beer in my system.
Right.
And then by the time I had the next beer, that beer was hardly, if at all, out of my system.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, the next day. Mm. So just, like, taking, like, you know, even, like, I haven't drank since Saturday. So it's like, oh, cool.
Like, you know that there's no alcohol in your system at all right now.
Right, yeah. And I'm able to achieve more.
Yeah.
Like, oh, cool. The mornings don't suck.
And you feel lighter, too. That's nice. And you feel more efficient.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. A little bit of clarity.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to return to substances.
To drinking?
not drinking, but like marijuana.
I've thought about it too.
Like, well, yeah, because once April 17th hits, that's the end of Lent. I don't know.
You don't have to stop then, man.
Yeah, I like I'm really enjoying today, like the presence of mind that I had just cleaning the apartment and like genuinely enjoying that, and then like calling my friend from high school and talking to him for an hour. These are just things I wouldn't have done.
I know. Yeah, go on.
Well, I just say I love when people do work for themselves. You know what I mean? Set themselves up for success because it's like that's part of self maintenance. It's beautiful to see.
I don't know if you felt this with like quitting smoking weed, but like I always like when I was trying to quit smoking weed, it was almost like I couldn't envision, even though like I had done it before, I couldn't envision my life without weed. I was like, oh, I'm just going to be so bored or whatever. In the first few days when you quit, you're like, God, this sucks.
Right.
But then it's just like it's like a light. Like after like a day or two, it's like the opposite where I'm like, I can't envision going back to weed.
Right.
It's just, it's the weirdest thing.
Yeah. I realized last week that it like, you know, because it was like 3 weeks sober. And then it was like, this is the most sober I've been since like the first drink I took in my friend Anthony's basement after senior year of high school.
Right.
Like I started just consuming things on a regular basis and then not being sober on a regular basis. And I have not been that sober before this month. I'd not been that sober in 10 years, which is just like a wild thought. Yeah.
But that's a lot of people.
Do you feel proud?
Proud? Yeah. 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 Proud of the getting here and knowing that I'm committing to it. But also very humbled by the past 10 years and evaluating, you know, like, so it's a mixture of like pride in the moment and being very humbled by the past.
Sure. Yeah, because a lot of times substances are a way to self-medicate.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So would you say you're a humble boy or a proud boy?
Evan just subtracted piss from his life. How is that pee, dude?
Nice.
Okay, tough speaking notch. Of proud boys. he just did the A-OK symbol.
It's so fucked up that they took that shit from us. You know, that was our thing.
From us.
That was our symbol.
Yeah, who is you in this?
The Dead Room Boys. Oh. We used to always
we
do that.
We are the Dead Room.
We are proud boys.
Okay, well, let's go to Wide Right.
This podcast is for comedy purposes only.
I'm either going to go to Wide Right or I'm going to go to the gym, I think.
Oh. Okay, or B.
I know.
Also, might just go. To sleep.
You know what? Speaking of Orbi, this is a quick story. He was talking about how he hit a weed vape 2 weeks ago at Irish Rover, and he never hits weed. And he got so paranoid that he was biking home, and he has to bike 4 miles, and so he started having a panic attack, thinking people were following him on his bike. And so he like moved over to the sidewalk, and he was still having a panic attack. And he said that when he got to his apartment, he went in his room, and then he loaded up all of his guns, and then he slept with his loaded guns. That's how fucking freaked out he was. And I'm like, bro, that sounds like a DARE ad. Like, that sounds like a fucking, like an anti-weed ad. And he's like, it was. I was freaking out.
Can we bleep out his name, too? Just so that that whole rant, nobody knows who we're talking
about. Sure.
That's funny.
That's fine. But yeah, he says that he has a combat shotgun. He has a fucking 9mm.
A combat shotgun?
A combat shotgun, like a pump action with a fucking butt stock. Yeah, pistol grip.
In unrelated news, RIP to his cat.
Pickles. Well, then everyone's going to know who it is.
He just shot Pickles in his sleep.
There's other, bleep out the...
With a combat shotgun.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was funny.
We could have actually a lot of fun with bleeps in this one. RIP to his bleep. Everyone knows who bleep is.
Yeah.
Would you rather bleep or bleep from your life?
Yeah. Wait, who's the bleep that smokes crack and who's the bleep who has loaded guns?
Is it the same bleep?
All right. Thank you guys so much for
coming.
Cool. Thanks for listening this far. Thanks.
Thanks for coming to the show.
You. Appreciate y'all.
Dead Room.
.com. Good set.
Solid. Yeah, I use doing cantor as the litmus test somehow.